Right, here we go. Yesterday, we left Gladys Allward in a bit of a predicament. She was standing before a Russian investigator. He had looked at her passport, looked at her, and said, "You are going to be a Russian Soviet military machine operator." He misunderstood the word missionary and thought it said machinist. And Gladys Allward, standing there in front of the Russian investigator, had come up with a crazy plan. Something she didn't know if she could get away with, something that she could get shot for. And so, standing before that Russian investigator, muscles tensed, body ready to go, she reached her hand out as fast as humanly possible, grabbed the passport and ripped it out of the Russian investigator's hand. She turned on her heels and ran as fast as she could. She heard yelling and screaming behind her. She could feel the wind of somebody trying to grab her. He got a little piece of her cloak, her clothes, but didn't grab a hold. And she just kept running, didn't even look back, ran as fast as she could away from that Russian investigator. She turned down as many alleys as she could find, then tried to weave in and out of crowds of people, trying to lose her pursuers. She didn't look back, she didn't stop, and she just kept running. And as she ran, she tried to think of where to go. All the trains would be too dangerous. If she went to any of the ticket booths, she wasn't sure if she would have enough money. She wasn't sure if that she would get on another train and get her passport checked again. So she just kept running. Luckily, the village that she was running in had a port. It had a place where ships would come. And so she thought of a plan. She thought maybe it would be possible to take a ship to where she needed to go. So running down to the docks, she looked around to see if she could find any ships that were possible. And sitting in the harbor, she saw a ship flying a very familiar flag. It was an English ship. So she made her way down to the docks, over to the sailors who were working on the ship, and she asked around, she said, "Hey, who is your captain? Hey, who is your captain?" They were kind of surprised to see this young lady that from England who spoke their language asking them questions, and they just kind of looked at her confused and pointed. Said, "He's over there." She found him, walked up to him, and said, "Sir, my name is Gladys Allward. I'm trying to go to China to be a missionary, and I don't think I can take any trains. Would it be possible somehow, some way, could you take me to China?" A look of amusement kind of passed across his face as he looked at her and said, "Maybe, but you gotta pay me. Like, I don't think I can do this for free." And she said, "Sir, I don't think I have enough money to pay for transport. That's a long ways to go, but would you please just take me to China?" He looked at her, thought for a moment, and then she saw on his face a plan form, as if he had thought of something. She almost got nervous. She looked at him and said, "Sir, what are you thinking?" He looked at her and said, "Well, I thought of a plan. What if I took you as a prisoner?" She looked surprised. What do you mean? I don't think I follow." He said, "No, look, if you're my prisoner, then you don't have to pay for passage, right?" She said, "Right. And if you're my prisoner, no one can take you off the boat and they can't inspect for you because you are now under English authority, right?" "Right." And so that British captain took Gladys Allward prisoner, put her in the ship and took her to China and just happened to release her on the soil of China, letting her get to China. And so Gladys was finally in China. She was finally where God wanted her to be. She was finally on her way, 21 days of travel, and she had finally made it to China. But her journey wasn't over. Mrs. Lawson was still a ways away. She still had to go through some villages. She still had to get to the specific village where Mrs. Lawson was. She didn't really know exactly how to get there or who to talk to, but she was lucky to find one of Mrs. Lawson's friends that Mrs. Lawson had sent to her, as Mr. Liu. Mr. Liu found her and started to say, "Come follow me, I'll take you to Mrs. Lawson." She had no idea how far she would have to go. They kept traveling. They traveled by bus. They traveled by mule train all the way to the small village of Yangcheng. By the time they arrived in Yangcheng, Gladys Allward was saddle sore, tired, exhausted, in pain. She was ready just to sleep, to rest. And as she got closer and as she finally made it to Yangcheng, she began to wonder. She didn't know anything about Mrs. Lawson. What if Mrs. Lawson didn't like her? What if Mrs. Lawson was different than she expected, or didn't want to use her, or thought that she was better at what she did, or had better grades than she did? What if Mrs. Lawson sent her back? It was too late for Gladys Allward to turn around. She just decided that she would continue going forward. In Yangcheng, Mr. Liu led her to the inn that Mrs. Lawson was staying in, that Mrs. Lawson was taking care of. Gladys Allward saw the archway, entered into the courtyard, and there at the door of the inn, she saw an old lady. The old lady didn't say anything, just stared at Gladys for a moment. Gladys fidgeted a little bit, running her feet in the sand, shifting back and forth on her weight, waiting for somebody to say something. Finally, the old lady looked right at Gladys Allward and said, "Who are you?" Gladys kind of looked behind her and then pointed at herself. She said, "Yes, who are you?" Gladys looked at the old lady and said, "I'm a missionary from England. My name's Gladys Allward." She waited. The old lady just looked at her. I'm looking for Mrs. Lawson. Do you happen to know her?" The old lady looked at Gladys, nodded, took a bony thumb and pointed at herself. "That's me." Gladys was a little confused. She said, "Oh, hi, Mrs. Lawson. I'm Gladys Allward." Mrs. Lawson said, "You said that already." "Okay." Gladys waited. Finally, Mrs. Lawson just shook her head and said, "Come on inside. I'll show you what we're going to do." And with that, the old lady turned on her heels and went into the inn. Gladys looked around and followed. She was about to be angry. I mean, she had traveled all this way, and all she got was a hello and come on in. Nothing more, nothing less. I mean, she had done a lot of work, 21 days of travel. She had almost gotten captured for this. She expected a warm hug or how are you doing, or can I get you anything, or please rest here, and nothing. Mrs. Lawson just brought her inside, sat her down, and began explaining her plan for the inn. And as Mrs. Lawson explained her plan, Gladys Allward realized that there was no reason for her to be upset. She didn't come to China to be comfortable. She didn't come to China to go rest, to go sleep, to just sit around and eat good food. No, she came to China for a very specific purpose, and that was to glorify God by telling others about Jesus Christ. And so as she listened to Mrs. Lawson's plan, she got over the pain, she got over the saddle soreness and the tiredness, and she decided that whatever Mrs. Lawson wanted her to do, that's what she would do. Mrs. Lawson explained that the inn that they were in right now, the place they were staying, it was called the Inn of Eighth Happiness. And that's this inn right here. Gladys asked where she had gotten the inn from or why she was able to stay there. And Mrs. Lawson explained that this inn, people thought that it was haunted. They thought that it was possessed by something, or that there were bad things in it. And so nobody was willing to take care of it. Nobody was willing to own it except for Mrs. Lawson. She had told the Chinese, she said that she'd drive the evil spirits away and that they had nothing to fear, that she would stay in the inn. They thought Mrs. Lawson was crazy. Mrs. Lawson explained to Gladys, she said, "I want to take this inn and I want to turn it into a true, usable inn." Gladys looked around the room that she was sitting in, what was supposed to be a dining room. It was a bit dilapidated. Things were broken, things just hanging off their hinges, dust everywhere, cobwebs. It was a wreck. She almost laughed at Mrs. Lawson, but held herself back. She looked at Mrs. Lawson, she said, "How are you going to take care of this inn? It's a wreck." Mrs. Lawson pointed at Gladys and said, "That's why you're here. Also, I've hired somebody else, Mr. Yang. He'll help out." But then Gladys was like, "Well, even if we fix it up, who's going to come? I mean, Yangcheng is a very small village, Mrs. Lawson. Who's going to come to this small village and stay at an inn?" Mrs. Lawson wasn't fazed by her questions. She had a plan for this. She looked at Gladys. She said, "Gladys, how did you get here?" Gladys thought for a moment. She said, "Well, I came by a bus." Mrs. Lawson shook her head. "No, how did you get specifically to Yangcheng?" Gladys looked at her and said, "Well, we came with a mule train." "Right. How many more mule trains were behind you?" "Well, there were quite a few. We were only part of one, and I heard there was another one coming, and then I hear one right now. I think they're coming through." Mrs. Lawson smiled. She said, "Gladys, Yangcheng is one of the main stops for all the mule trains. They come through here all the time. So all we need to do is have the mule train people come stay at the inn." Gladys looked at Mrs. Lawson. She said, "That's a great idea, Mrs. Lawson, and I really do think it's a good plan. But Mrs. Lawson, how are we going to convince the mule train people to come to our inn specifically? I mean, look at the place. It's dilapidated. It hasn't been used in years. On top of that, people think it's haunted." Mrs. Lawson smiled once again. She looked, took a bony finger and pointed it right at Gladys and said, "That's your job." My job. I don't even know the language, Mrs. Lawson. How am I supposed to bring? What do you mean?" And Mrs. Lawson just shook her head. She said, "Gladys, look, all you need to do, walk outside, stop the first mule, grab the reins, bring that mule into the courtyard, and guess what will happen? All of the other mules will simply follow the lead mule into the courtyard. And then all we have to do is convince them to stay." Gladys looked at her and she said, "Mrs. Lawson, I can't just go out there and grab the front mule and muscle and just yank it into our inn." Mrs. Lawson nodded, "Yes, you can." Gladys didn't know what to say. She just said, "Okay, whatever you say, Mrs. Lawson, I will do whatever it is that you say." Mrs. Lawson then explained. She said, "Once they're here, we'll give them good food, and then we'll tell them Bible stories. And that's how we'll reach the Chinese people." Gladys was a little dubious about Mrs. Lawson's plan, but Mrs. Lawson was older than her and had at least gotten an inn, and they at least had a plan. And so they went to work. Mr. Yang showed up the next morning, and they began fixing up all of the different repairs that needed to happen. Mr. Yang was also an excellent cook, so he would cook amazing food. Most of it Gladys had never seen before or even heard of. She learned to never ask questions, just eat what was given to her. And so as the days passed, they slowly took the Inn of Eighth Happiness and brought it to a place where it was usable. And during that time, Mr. Yang would teach Gladys different words and then parts of the language. And Gladys learned a simple phrase that she would tell to all the mule trains that came in. She learned the simple statement, "We have no bugs. We have no fleas. Good, good, good. Come, come, come." And so Gladys would practice this over and over as she worked, as she would swing hammers and as she would cook food and as she'd do laundry. She would run through it in her head. She would try to say it in Chinese. "We have no bugs. We have no fleas. Good, good, good. Come, come, come." During this work time, Gladys was amazed to see how well this 73-year-old lady, Mrs. Lawson, kept up with all of the work. Gladys could barely keep up with Mrs. Lawson as she worked day in and day out, waking up earliest, always showing up to everything. And finally, the day came when Mrs. Lawson looked at Gladys and said, "Gladys, go outside and greet a first mule train. Try to bring them inside." Gladys was a little scared, but she went outside. She went out to where the mule trains entered the city, the village, and she began to greet the first mule train. She looked at the mule train, she waved, and she said, "We have no bugs! We have no fleas! Good, good, good! Come, come, come!" The mule train leader, the man sitting on the mule, looked at her confused, almost scared. What was this English lady saying in Chinese, in their language? And suddenly Gladys just walked right over, grabbed the reins of his mule, and began leading him. He was so confused. What was she doing? But before he knew it, him and his entire mule train were inside the courtyard. And before he knew it, they were off their mules. And before he could say anything, refuse, turn them away, they were inside the inn eating good food, hearing Bible stories from Mrs. Lawson. Somehow, some way, God had used Gladys and Mrs. Lawson and Mr. Yang to reach some of the first people there, to tell them about him, to tell them Bible stories. Everything was going wonderfully. Everything was going great until one day. One day, Gladys Allward got up, went to work as she usually did, prepping meals, fixing things, getting ready for the next meal train. But something was wrong. Mr. Yang was in the kitchen helping, and they looked at each other, and they both had a look of concern. They hadn't said anything much that morning, but finally they looked at each other and asked, have you seen Mrs. Lawson? Mr. Yang shook his head, no. Mr. Yang asked her, have you seen her? Neither one of them had seen Mrs. Lawson. Usually she was up first. Usually she was here first, but she was nowhere to be seen. Finally, Gladys worked up the courage to go to the top story of the inn where Mrs. Lawson stayed. She walked up the stairs one step at a time, a little afraid of what she might find. She got to Mrs. Lawson's door, and she opened it, walked inside, and there Mrs. Lawson lay, the first time she had ever slept in or missed work. She rushed over to Mrs. Lawson's side and asked her what was wrong. Mrs. Lawson barely mustered a response. Gladys, I think I'm sick. Gladys and Yang did everything they could to help Mrs. Lawson get better. But she just got worse and worse until one day she finally called Gladys to her side, and with a ragged voice she said to Gladys, Gladys, God called you to my side. He called you here in answer to my prayers. And he wants you to carry on my work here. He will provide, he will bless and protect you. Just keep serving him. Later that day, Mrs. Lawson died. With Mrs. Lawson gone, it was vital that Gladys learn the language. She devoted more time to it. She worked hard and hard and hard until finally she knew the language better. But as she was learning the language, Mr. Yang came to her one day and said, Gladys, now that Mrs. Lawson is dead, you need to go to the Mandarin. She looked at Mr. Yang confused. Who's the Mandarin? He explained that the Mandarin was one of the most powerful men in the area, and that the Mandarin decided who could live here, who could own buildings here, who could, especially foreign people, what they were allowed to do and what they weren't allowed to do. Mrs. Lawson had already gone to him, gotten permission, but now that she was gone, somebody else had to get permission from him. And so, Gladys, that's you. You have to go ask him. Gladys became afraid. She had no idea how to approach the Mandarin. He was a powerful Chinese man. He was a man who had power to tell her that she had to leave or put her in prison. And so she asked Mr. Yang all the questions she could think of about how to approach him, how many times she should bow, what she should say. She would ask everyone she knew about this, trying to get as much, but she got little to no information about how she was supposed to approach him. Thankfully, she had a couple days, she had a couple weeks before she had to go meet him. Except one day, she heard Mr. Yang run into the courtyard yelling, Gladys! Gladys, you won't believe it! You need to hurry quick to the courtyard! She ran into the courtyard. What, Mr. Yang? What's going on? Is it a mule train? He said, no! The Mandarin is coming now! She looked surprised. She looked afraid. She ran to the courtyard. She stopped. She thought to herself. She was trying to think of what she should do, how she should say, what she should say. But before she could do anything, the Mandarin just entered the courtyard. He walked right up to her. She didn't do anything. She just bowed twice. She didn't know if that was the right thing to do. He didn't seem to care. 1,000 possibilities flashed through her mind. Maybe he was here to imprison her and throw or to kill her. He just looked at her silent. Gladys waited, tension rising, and finally he spoke. He looked at Gladys. He said, Gladys! The central government demands foot inspectors to go to every village. All females' feet must be checked. If feet are bound, they must have bindings removed. Only female with big feet can do this job, and you have big feet. Write to your friends and find a woman to do this job, someone like you. Gladys didn't have a chance to respond. The Mandarin just left. You see, the Chinese people had a tradition in which they would bind the feet of their children because they thought small feet looked better. So they would fold the feet down and squish them and wrap them up tight. But now the Chinese government decided that that needed to stop, and so they were sending people out to remove bindings. And so Gladys wrote to every missionary, every mission she knew, and nobody agreed to help. The Mandarin returned and said, Gladys, have you found me a foot inspector? She said, no. So he looked at her, looked at her feet, looked at her, you are now my foot inspector, and left. At first, Gladys was a little concerned about this, but then she realized that now that she had a position, she had a job to do, the Chinese people would eventually respect her. See, in their culture, if you didn't have a position or a job that was respected in the government, then you weren't respected as a person. But now, Gladys would be respected. Because of this important position, because she would go to different houses, more people knew about her, and more people came to hear Bible stories at the mission. It was going wonderfully. Even with Mrs. Lawson gone, God was working at the Inn of Eighth Happiness. Another day came. Another person came running into the courtyard. This time somebody that Gladys had never seen before, somebody she'd never met. He came running into the courtyard, waving a red paper back and forth, fluttering in the wind, yelling, "Somebody come get Gladys! Bring her here! I have a note for her! The governor wants to see Gladys!" Gladys looked amazed and surprised. What did the governor want with her? The Mandarin at least liked her, but now the governor was after her? What's the deal? What is God doing? She finally went over to the servant of the governor and had tried to get what he wanted, but he talked so fast and so excitedly that she couldn't understand what he was saying. Finally, she called around for a translator, somebody who knew both Chinese and English. He came and he began to translate for Gladys and explain what was going on. He said that the servant was telling Gladys that somebody must come help. There is a prison riot. They need some guy, some person to help. At first, the servant looked at the translator and said, "Okay, you come help with the prison riot." But the translator didn't want it. He didn't want anything to do with a prison riot, so he just turned and ran. Gladys was left alone with the governor's servant, and finally, he looked at her and said, "You must come now. If you don't come, you will be punished by the governor." And so, without a choice, Gladys Allward had to follow the servant of the governor down to the prisons to stop a prison riot. I mean, what was she going to do, little old Gladys Allward, against a prison riot? As she got closer to the prison walls, she heard the yells and screams of men fighting each other. She could see dust coming up over the sides of the walls as there was fighting inside. Soldiers circled all around the prison. Nobody wanted to go inside. The governor sat nearby, and he saw Gladys coming up and said, you have to go inside. She looked at the governor, and she said, "Sir, you're going to send a woman in there to stop a prison riot? What are you thinking? Why won't you send? You have soldiers. Look at all these guys with swords and stuff." He looked at her and said, "No, nobody's willing to go inside. They're all too afraid." He said, "Sir, what am I supposed to do?" Finally, he said, "Gladys, you've told the village that God protects you, right?" She said, "Yes." "So if your words are true, then God will protect you." She was about to argue when she realized he had a pretty good point. She had told them God would protect her. I guess she was going to go inside and try to stop a prison riot. And so she walked towards the door of the prison, every step bringing the noise level up, every step bringing her closer to danger, towards men angry. She got to the door, they unbolted it, and they pulled the massive gate open. It screeched the whole way open. They opened it just enough for Gladys to barely squeeze inside. She turned around, and she could see down a dark hallway at the end, an entrance into the courtyard of the prison. And just as she entered that area, and just as she looked down the dark hallway, she could see running back and forth crazy men, wild men, men grabbing each other, throwing each other down, fighting each other. And before she could turn around and run, she heard the door slam shut. And she heard a soft click. She turned around and pushed on the door just to test. Sure enough, they had locked her inside. So, with nowhere to go except forward, she turned around and began walking into the prison, each step closer towards the entrance of the courtyard. She began to shake. She began to tremble. Her heart began to beat faster. Her hands began to get sweaty. She could smell blood coming, wafting down towards her. And as she got closer, she could make out in the courtyard men dead on the ground, having been beaten to death. And as she got closer, and as her fear began to rise more, she quickly prayed for God's help, for God's protection. She had told them that God protect her. Hopefully he would. And as she got closer, she could see a man running by. He had an axe raised above his head, and he was waving it wildly, yelling. She saw men running away from him, and as she got closer and closer, she tried to think of a way out. She tried to think of a way to what was she supposed to do? What was she supposed to say? And as she entered into the courtyard, she took her first step in. Right as she entered, the man with the axe made eye contact with her, stopped what he was doing, and started running directly at her, barreling towards her, axe raised above his head, about to strike, about to take Gladys down. And before he did anything, to be continued tomorrow.